Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Diva Strategies for Success. I am so excited because I have a fabulous guest today. Her name is Dawn McCoy. She is the founder of RSPI, and she is also a personal growth development coach. Let me tell you a little bit about her. RSPI.org stands for the Red Shoe Project, and she is also, as I said, a personal development coach. She founded RSPI organization in 2011, which is a nonprofit that helps mental and emotional health people. She is also a personal growth development coach, business consulting, marketing strategist, and president of RSPI Clinic, which is a low-cost mental health clinic. Dawn attended California Baptist Academy in 2009 and received a Master of Arts Consulting and Ministries Theologically and Behavioral Science degree. She also has a Master of Science Counseling Psychology and Marriage and Family Therapy Child Development Special Education degree, and also received her Bachelor of Science Psychology Behavior Science degree in 2001. She is also a servanthood leadership and trainer. Check out her website. It's rspi.org to learn more about this dynamic woman. Welcome, Dawn. I am so happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm awesome. Today I actually took a day off, and this is my one special event for the day. My mental health day turned out to be awesome. I just got my house clean, and I'm ready to just be talking to a lovely woman like you and everyone else. How you doing?
Well, thank you. I want you to tell me about your work and how you help individuals in the Inland Empire.
All right. So I noticed about 20 years ago in my industry in psychology that there was one form of therapy, and that was mainly if you had an issue, you'd be referred by a doctor or go to your doctor and they refer you out to a clinic or something local of a counseling service around in your area. And I wasn't very happy with some of the things that I was seeing, as well as the clinical model was doing very well for me. And yet I always felt like I needed to be in the community. And so I designed in 2011, after divorce and going through a lot of kind of codependency growing and learning what codependency was without identifying as that, and built a nonprofit. Mental and emotional health care were very important to me, and I really, at that time, I started this mindset in 2008-09, and it wasn't really registering with anyone, my friends, because that was the recession at that time, and so there weren't very many jobs for anyone. And so I decided to create a job while I was working at Starbucks and created a nonprofit thinking where we do mental and emotional health, the cognition of thinking and then understanding our behavior behind the thinking and then what moves us forward. So as the 10 years progress, you have to learn what business is, and I was never trained in business. So I took on tons of mentors and designed a business consulting model with a lot of different people in this industry, and they helped me piece it together. And so we outsource when we can't do something here. So we're the aftercare program. So if you've gone to treatment or you've gone to therapy, and then the next thing you know, it's working, but it's just not enough, and you need a friend to kind of put you the pieces together in your daily living, I'm the person you would want to call. If you're diagnosed with cancer or you're going through some kind of family trauma and your therapist is not picking up at the time, I'm here to call in the in-between times. And then if you need prayer, we do have a chaplaincy program here as well. So we're doing a lot of different things here, but reality is I kind of built this place for me to heal and then the mentorship model took on, and with kids and autism and art and equine and all kinds of different things. It just, you bring your friends together and you put them all to work, it all seems to make a million smiles happen in your community all at once, little things, little illuminating things around the city. So it's been fun to be cohesive and resourceful and outsource some of my friends, you know. It's been great.
That's great. You mentioned nonprofit is not for the weak. So tell me about that.
The reason why I put that is because if you are feeling weak, you definitely are not weak. We come from an empathic spirit here where we're led from an artist soul. And so you are truly born with an innate ability to do something, whether it's to encourage or to be a caregiver or an artist, or some of us wanted to be a nurse or a vet. And some of us wanted to be an architect, some of us wanted to be a cop or a fireman. And so those are all adventure-seeking behaviors and adventure-seeking occupations. So when you're little, you pretend to be these things. And so as an adult, we get into jobs and we realize, well, that's half of what I kind of wanted to be. And then we end up being very lost, going, well, I really wanted to be a vet or a nurse. And so our company comes in and says, well, you are. You're a caregiver to your family. Maybe you're a mama of four children. You're a caregiver, you know, or maybe you're a dad and you're an electrician. Well, guess what? You're helping the entire world light up with your skills and your talents. And so that's what an engineer does. It's a creative lifestyle. So for the weak, meaning it's not for the weak, it's for the meek, the people that can settle down and sit down long enough and sit down and realize that they are the expert at their life. It's now up to us to help you share that with the world the way in your language. And so that's the main focus, is that you have a purpose here. Regardless of what you've been through, you can do everything the right thing, right way, and everything the wrong way and still end up right here. Talking to Robbie Motter, you know.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
Yeah.
So what did you want to do since you were 12?
I've always wanted to be an encourager. So a lot of people, I was kind of that introverted kid, but I always had friends that were the extroverts and adventure seekers. So when I was 12, I was always the person that someone would come to or cry or get a hug. Or they liked my smile. And so that's when I knew at 12 years old, I want to be a psychologist. And I went all the way through and I did it for, you know, the 5-6 years that you take to get your bachelor's and master's. And then by the end of it, you realize I still want to do this, but I kind of want to be more in the community. And so I went for 12 years at Cal Baptist University and they taught me how to integrate things. And so from 12 to here I am 43, I still want to be an encourager. So it happens right when you have a pivotal moment in your life that you know your gut instinct was right. You just didn't know that you needed people in your life to kind of instill that and bring that out in you. So we do need each other in this community. So
absolutely. You've defeated death twice. Tell me about that.
First time, I was in my 30s, and codependency was running amok in my life and dating people after divorce and, you know, just trying to find my way. I was educated, working for the man, and understanding taking a paycheck is very real, and understanding what an out-of-work marriage and family therapist and social worker has to figure out in 2011, 12, 13, you know? And so what happened was I rolled my car when I was just not thinking. My car was going too fast and I wasn't thinking. And, you know, people in chaos create chaos, I think. And that was a moment where I rolled my car, crawled out of it and called my mother and said, I need you to come pick me up. And I didn't realize that there were ambulances and things around me and had already tended to my life. But I do know that there was a peace in my heart that I was meant to be on the planet. So I don't remember much about that situation other than what I was told. And so I don't move through that as a journey that I want to remember, but it was something that stuck in my head, that I remembered that there was a creator out there that had something bigger for me on the planet. And then flash forward, when I was 42, I didn't know I had cancer, and a lump was presented in my left thyroid gland. And I had it tested, and they said, oh, it's fine, it's fine. And then I had it removed October 30th, 2019. A week later, I'm feeling amazing. I'm running down the street. I have the most energy I've had in years, and lost a few pounds and felt good. And my doctor told me I had cancer. And that's when you go into a deep depression, and you're not sure how to take the shock, or the, it's an actual traumatic event. And it's just like a debt, and it takes you to a low that you can't explain, and you can't really say much other than I'm willing to let others know I'm not okay, yet how do I do this in a private, unique way that still keeps my business intact, that keeps my integrity intact without, you know, yelling at people that I want to eat, you know, French fries and hamburgers all the time, but I have cancer now. And then several months later, it took an amazing turn, and I actually believe that COVID saved my life. Many others have lost their lives, and it taught me how to pray, taught me how to settle down and understand that my hamster wheel was running too much, and I believe that my anger and resentment towards built-up anger and resentment for the years really caused a death inside of me. And I had to be healed from that. And so it's been a year and a half, and I have been healed from that. And I went into a depression of a low where I didn't want to survive. And today I definitely, definitely want to see what's going on in this world. There's so much happening. So my perspective is a lot different since those two death experiences. One took a lot longer, but this one, this last one with cancer, I'm 43, it took about a year and a half to realize that I'm very fortunate to have others in my life and to sustain a lifestyle of hope and peace. You know, that's hard, but it is doable. So,
right. Yeah. You're right. Someone told you are a worker bee. So what do you do?
I do work. Okay. So a nonprofit owner never sleeps or eats. That's probably true. Yeah. And then your friends kind of go like, when's the last time you went out, or when's the last time you went shopping? Or when's the last time, you know, you went to your local hangout, you know? So much has changed, not because of COVID, but I'm an introverted extrovert. Because of my business, it made me put my face out there and say, hi, I'm Dawn McCoy. And so it was very difficult to really come to grips with being loud and open, being the person on the corner with the sign saying, I'm here for mental health, I'm here for mental health. So the worker bee in me means if I'm not out in public, then I'm here in my office or my home, always dream building about the next program we could do, like Willy Wonka. You know, I feel this is the chocolate factory, and there are tons of candies and tons of flavors to try, but the real brainiacs, a lot of us introverts are up at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 2 a.m., 1 a.m. going, oh my gosh, if I don't remember, I have to write this down or put it in our calendar. And I learned that really quickly, yet I wasn't a business-minded person. I was just a dreamer, and that didn't make me very much money, so I thought it didn't matter. And what matters now is quality versus quantity. It doesn't matter to me that. Instead, the quality of work. So worker bee means I am a type B personality. I'm always wanting to hurry up and get home and put pajama pants on. So COVID worked for me, definitely, in that department. And then I've always been telehealth system, answering phones all over the world, phone calls with Instagram or Facebook or whatever, you know, just when your friend has a friend has a friend who's in England, you know, stuff like that. And so worker bee means if someone's in crisis and if you're the person that's answering the phone and you say, hi, how can I help you? And it's sincere. That's not work from this planet. This is from the universe telling me I need to stop and take note of human kindness. So that's right. What probably, if somebody told you that, that's probably very true. And there's always like an idea to do a fundraiser, which I like to party. It's fun to play with people. So I'm always working. And if I'm playing, I'm still working and witnessing to people. So, yeah.
I heard you play the piano. So what do you do with the with all that music that you play?
Okay, so we're littles, and I wasn't very much into sports, okay, because, I don't know, I just wasn't that kid. My best friends were, but I wasn't that kid who was very good. I was short, still am, you know. I have the same size shoe since I was sixth grade, six and a half, you know, and it's like I didn't really fit in with all the jocks and the kinesiology majors in college even. You know, I had roommates that were that, but so I had music or my voice ever since I was a little kid. So I've been raised in church, so you learn the choir, you learn how to do all the Easter programs and the flying from the top of the church programs, and then you get in college and karaoke is like the thing, and to this day karaoke is my thing, and I have several friends in the entertainment industry and they are amazing, you know. So part of the music comes from understanding the keys and the tones of how it healed my voice and healed my life. Why I incorporate activity in most of my coaching and my development is because he who is eating well and good nutrition and is less sedentary, even just for 10 minutes a day while you're answering your phone calls, it makes a huge difference. So the piano, the music, I was listening to gangster rap like 2 seconds before I called into this, just because I need to get pumped up because I got to celebrate today. A lot's happening. You know, I need to get out of the doldrums and the I'm sleepy and too tired mode and be energetic for this audience, you know, and tell the truth. So, yeah.
That's good. Also, besides playing the piano, I heard you are a painter. So tell me about that.
Yeah, I am. So, again, Red Shoe is always about the artist self. So how do you express yourself? So when I first opened here, I had no furniture and I had a lot of art supplies just because I took it down, you know, from my friends. They all donated a bunch of stuff. This girl, Cindy Walker, comes in and she's like, I want to show you how to paint to music. And I thought, all right. So she throws down a canvas on my wood floors and takes out this easel and starts painting and puts on, you know, praise and worship songs. And I was like, yeah, I'm not ready for that. And then she goes, okay, let's move the music to something else. She puts on Van Halen, Def Leppard. I mean, we're listening to Bob Marley. All of a sudden, I'm just watching her going, I don't have it in me to do that. Because my heart was just torn from a lot of things, from divorce and business, starting new business and nobody's listening. And then it inspired me to move through, instead of watercolors, move through oil pastel crayons and learn how to smudge those with my fingers on paper and feel my feelings. So we did that for 5 years. We did an art class here every Friday night, open to the public, where you could come in, sit down, and we had different styles of music on. And you could come here, leave your stuff here, and come back the following week. And I have several of those from, like, 2010, 11, 12, 13, all kinds of different things that we did. And then I personally, during COVID, was asked, just before we shut down, by an art collector and art people around here in the community to possibly do a collection and then put some in some of the restaurants around here. And they're like, can you paint us some stories about your clients? And I was like, I don't paint like that. I paint when I feel like it. And when I feel like it, it's like late at night and I paint with night lights or in the dark by candlelight just because I like bright colors and I want to be able to see them in the daytime and also understand the dark inside of me, the balance. And so that ended up being what an amazing thing. I have several paintings that came out of COVID. I'm showing my clients and also showing a lot about me and my growth spurt and also my body changes and through health and nutrition and being open about it. So, and then another art form to me now is Instagram and Facebook and advertising. That's an art. That is a challenging art, my friend.
It is. Absolutely. You are right. What are a few things that you really love?
Well, I am in love with animals, and I think they're in love with me. I tend to gravitate towards animals now more than people, but that's okay because people and I are okay at, on a level, but animals and I have a language that I can't speak other than just I sit and I wait for them to come to me, and then every animal has a nickname, and I talk to them like the babies. I used to really love mint and chip ice cream back in the day, of course, you know. And now I've moved towards, like, lime sherbet. That's kind of my go-to at 10 o'clock at night. And right now I'm really loving seeing people acknowledge one another with respect, even though we're opening back up. We're still having we saw a lot of disrespect in the last year towards one another, towards our government, and a lot of different things. And so it's beautiful to start seeing business owners look at me and just say, I'm so glad you're here. And they've always been like that. Just now it's so genuine. Like, we're family now when we see each other. Like, when I met you, Robbie, it was like I've always known you, you know, and that's what I love. And your fashion, I love people's fashion right now. It's on. In this world, everybody's having great, all the 90s are coming back, and that's my era, so, yeah.
That's great. Not many people can drive a stick shift. I've never driven one, so why do you like it?
You know. I'm an only child, so, hi, if you don't know how to drive a stick, then by the end of when you grow up, you know, it gets you a good date, you know, it's a good conversation piece. You can drive a stick, you can pop the clutch, you can race a car, you know, it makes you kind of cool, I guess. And I asked my dad when I was the age, you know, 16, 17, I really wasn't into it. 17 and a half, I was like, that's it. I need to drive myself to school. And the only option was a cheap Toyota Tercel, and that was like $3,000 or less than that, I don't know, back in the day. And so my dad goes, it's a stick. And I said, that's fine. Let me try it. And I did not do well at all. And I almost hit a truck and a van, and I let it sit there for a week and told myself, if I don't get this done, I'll never forgive myself, you know? And I was right. Same thing with a lot of things, even in business, taking the risk just for a minute. If I don't do this right now, I bet you I'll regret that. And that gut instinct, I'm so glad because I get to drive fun cars with people or drive their Jeeps and trucks and stuff. And it's a good conversation piece, really. So
what is your favorite color and why?
Actually, okay, so our staple color here at Reggie Project is red. We picked that because my mom had a fun joke when she died. She wanted to be buried in her red shoes and go out in style. But it also means love and hate. Love is what I promote and do unto others as you've done unto you. And regardless if you can pay me, I'm still going to do that. I'm still going to treat you like a human, and animals too. I treat them like humans. And it's just yellow actually has always been my most favorite because yellow seems to be the core value system, even in the chakra system, you know. But yellow is my favorite color because it seems to be light. It means light, but it also gives me a sense of joy every single time I see it on a person. You know, on my cover photo on my Facebook right now, I went out for Cinco de Mayo, and this woman I met, she's just gorgeous, Latina, beautiful yellow blouse. And she's like, this is the first time I wore it. I said, wear it again and again and again. Her face just lit up, and it was pleasant to talk to her with her demeanor. And then the yellow just, you know, so that yellow. And then I had a birdie that was yellow, and she just passed away this week as well in my hand. So that was a beautiful moment. So these random things mean something. I'm very, very, very quirky like that.
That's great. So tell me, I know you work with people on leadership and coaching and things like that. So how do you work with them on that?
Okay, so leaders need to be led too. Biggest advice, I needed to listen to myself. Okay, so a lot of times I live my life, I hope it works out. I need to get this done, and I can't really find anybody to support that, or I really can't find the time to, oh my gosh, go to school for that. No. So when I'm talking to other leaders, I'm not really trying to lead them. I'm really trying to influence them that they're the expert at their lives. So if they can just tell me a few things that aren't working in their life, it's my job to be the what? The encourager. And so it's been very fun for me to kind of take the cap off of even financial burden and just sit back and relax with me as a coach. And so leaders need to be led. Well, that's great, but they also need to be served as well. So the servanthood leadership model is if one of my mentors is sick or they're not feeling well or they're overwhelmed by their clients and their stuff, I reach out to them through text and say, how's it going? Miss your face. You know, real basics. Or I love you, sweet friend. Or I literally hit them up on Facebook and say, I love you. This is a great pick. Can't wait to see your family in a month. You know, things like that. Words of encouragement, words of affirmation, the love languages is my biggest, biggest, funnest way of starting people off on the right direction. You can take the quiz online. It's free. It's not my material, but I do use that as a springboard. And so personal growth development means if I'm a leader, I need to take responsibility for my mental and emotional stability. If I'm not well, I got to reach out to one person on my staff as well as a family member that I'm not well. And it could be for a day I'm not well, but it could also be maybe I need a month to regroup. And so business consulting comes in and we start talking to them about how their marketing is or their operations. Or we influence them. The growth, yes, you want that, but let's take a look at where the breakdown is and what are the best business practices for you if you're an entrepreneur. If you're not an entrepreneur and you're working for the system, that's cool, okay? We also go back and use the best business practices in your home. It's called cognitive behavioral therapy techniques where you go back to a calendar in your house, like a chore chart, old school, for you. Redo your house a little bit so it's more conducive to different things that say sayings on the wall. Put new snacks in your household, like an apple and oranges and lemons in your water. So you're just kind of changing up the things that you have. And so being a servanthood leader means even I'm doing these things that I'm suggesting. And sometimes it doesn't always work out. And I still get mad and still have hormonal changes and acne and stress. At the same time, I'm open and honest and telling you my hair is growing and my skin is breaking out, but I'm going through hormonal changes and I'm 43 and I have wrinkles. Adjust. So when a leader can come down to the level of, I think I'm ready to just do some self-care, that's what really just springboards me and says, I can do this forever. And so that's the personal growth development that I've noticed over the last 43 years from being a codependent person all the way up till now where I'm interdependent. I've learned that mental and emotional health care is top priority and everything else falls into place, you know?
So Dawn, how can people get a hold of you? How can people get a hold of you? We have about 1 minute.
Great. Okay, they can contact me. They can call me at 951-491-1971. You can call me or leave me a text, and I will call you back, definitely. Customer service is very important to us over here. You can email me at dawn@rspi.org. That's R-S as in Sam, I-R-S-P-I.org. And then you can also check us out at rspi.org. Or Facebook and Instagram, you know. I'm a marketer, so I'm on Facebook all the time. And then, you know, Google us in Redlands, California, Mental Health Red Shoe Project. Okay.
So we have like 1 minute and 7 seconds. So what would you like to leave with the audience?
That we built a place between light and darkness where hope and desperation meet here at Red Shoe. And we believe that mental and emotional health care is important, okay? And the one reason I'm here is because I realized that I didn't have it all together. And I'm not the crazy, but it sure felt like I was, you know? And so I want people to understand it's okay to just say, I need help, even for an hour. and we never talk to each other again, it would be for the 1 hour that you're obedient to your gut instinct that I'm not okay right now. But you will be in about 20 minutes after you talk to me, you know? So I wanted that open avenue and that channel. And Robbie, you made that possible today, and I appreciate that so much. You're truly a friend.
Okay.
It means a lot.
Thank you, Dawn. It was wonderful hearing all this and learning more about you, and I want to thank you for being a guest on the show. We are out of time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.